Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We will have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Vanderbilt gets the win against Missouri, 17-10. College game day was in town. They were the story of college football, and they roll off yet another win at home. They've moved up to number 9 now in the AP poll, so continuing to just vault up the rankings there is Vanderbilt football.
So that's their highest ranking since 1937. The poll started in 1936, so I think we're done going back on that now. This is it.
That's the best Vanderbilt team ever. Yeah. And it's what it is. So how are they going to finish here? You know, it was an important weekend in the SEC that kind of factors into this Vanderbilt discussion. You had Ole Miss and Oklahoma, and Oklahoma loses a huge win for Ole Miss on the road. You had LSU with now their third loss, and they have canned the coach. Brian Kelly is out at LSU, so back-to-back losses to Vanderbilt and Texas A&M, and Brian Kelly has been shown the door, so we'll get into that, I'm sure, throughout the rest of the week here. It's going to be an absolutely wild coaching search in college football. It's just going to be nuts, and I'm looking forward to it.
It's crazy, and it's almost like if you're considering firing your coach right now, I mean, at some point, you got to look around and be like, gee, where are we on the list?
It's oversaturated.
Yeah, of the people trying to get this coach or that coach. And the buyouts, I mean, here we go with another $50 million plus one. I just covered Michigan State game this weekend. Michigan State's probably about to fire their coach in his second year. That's a $33 million buyout. I mean, it's wild. Wisconsin and Fickle, on and on and on.
So you've got all that going on. Vanderbilt gets the win. Texas, it looked like, was in serious trouble at Mississippi State. I think they were down 38-21 at one point. They come back and they win the game in overtime. By the way, some absolutely crushing losses for Mississippi State so far this year, which has been interesting to watch. But you got Vanderbilt and Texas coming up this weekend at 11 a.m. in Texas. After that, as we talked about last week, you got Auburn and Kentucky at home if you're Vanderbilt. Auburn gets a win against Arkansas over the weekend. And then you close things out with Tennessee. I said it last week. If you could get the Missouri game, you are sitting pretty when it comes to college football playoff discussion. Certainly sitting pretty, you would think, in what would be heading into that Tennessee game for the last week of the year. Now, Texas, I have no idea what to expect with Texas on Saturday because we talked all week about how good their defense is. And then they gave up 38 to Mississippi State over the weekend. And you talked about it. You know, it's a different offense, challenging offense to deal with. So maybe it's just as simple as that. But, like, you know, I haven't looked at the line yet for Vanderbilt and Texas. I am very interested to see what that is heading into it. What's your guess on what that line is?
Well, I got $20 on it with Stilly. So I need Texas by a point.
It is Texas minus 2.5.
There we go. You owe me money, sucker. I do wonder, had that game not flipped, which was like this insane punt return and all this stuff that happened. I mean, Mississippi State, boy, that's a tough one. They are completely dominating. But what if that just would have continued and they win by double figures? Yeah. Is it different? Is Vanderbilt favored?
Maybe.
I think this is not good for all the amazing stuff that's going on with Vanderbilt. You think about Texas just losing that game and they're out. They're done. So we got Sarkisian out here somehow is okay with his agent putting it out there that he's looking at the NFL right now. I can't imagine how that would have helped his team and its mindset going into that game. So that's out there. You lose that game, you're out of the playoff. All we're talking about, okay, where's Arch going to be next year? Where's Sark going to be next year? Blow it up. Meanwhile, Texas A&M might be the best team in the country, and they're about to kick your ass later in a few weeks. So enjoy all that. Instead, they win that game, and I'm sure they're still – most Texas fans are still like, this is supposed to be the best team in college football. It's not even close to that. But they're alive. Like, they're alive, and actually Vanderbilt, top 10 team coming to their house, that would be a huge win.
Yep.
That would all of a sudden give them a chance to get back into the discussion. So, for all the great things that are going on for Vanderbilt, that finish of that game is not good to me. Because they have new life now, and they have a purpose this week, whereas they would have had nothing for this game. And I think I would have had a hard time picking against Vanderbilt in this game, but now I don't know. But I also don't think Texas is very good either.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was important for Vanderbilt to be able to come out and win a game when your offense didn't have their best stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
for sure.
We've talked about Vanderbilt's defense. I thought they rose to the occasion, did a great job. Some huge plays in that game, some huge stops on fourth down in that game. Like, they did a really good job of kind of bowing up when you needed them to.
And just ripping the ball away to set up the winning touchdown.
Right. And if you told me heading into the game that Vanderbilt scored 17 points in the game, I would have probably said, well, that's probably not very good for Vanderbilt. Like, yeah, they'd probably lose. So to be able to win a game like that, I think is crucial for them. Now, what does that mean for their defense moving forward? And, like, can your offense bounce back and get back on track this week against a Texas defense that, Mississippi State game aside, has been pretty darn good throughout the year?
Yeah, right. Now, there's also, as Jared brings up, and I don't know, I don't know that he's out for sure, but Arch could be out.
Could be. We'll see.
And, you know, the backup came in through a TD pass. I don't know if you're Vanderbilt, you know, if you give truth serum.
Who would you rather see?
Yeah, who do you want him out, or would you like him to play? But, yeah, his numbers end up – he did make some big-time throws in that game amid the comeback.
Yes.
Also, for – as they built that league, he had – lead. They had he had very bad numbers and was doing very poorly. So, I don't know. They have a lot of talent still. It's going to be a really interesting game, you know. But that's the thing is, I mean, look – Vanderbilt still has the mulligan, and, you know, Auburn did turn it on and beat Arkansas on the road, and so they're still kind of, you know, like, they're dangerous to me, but you know what? I just have to like Vanderbilt in those two home games. So if they have a mulligan left, you'd love to, like, not even have to win in Knoxville, and you're just you're playing for, you know, I guess probably a spot in Atlanta. Yeah. Slash talking about getting a bye as opposed to you have to win to get in. And that, to me, is what this week represents.
Yeah, if you could go on the road, get this win, barring an upset from Auburn or Kentucky. And by the way, like, Kentucky's not beating Vanderbilt. Let me just go ahead and throw that out there. They're not very good. And, you know, Tennessee's offense or defense made them look halfway decent on offense the other day. I just – Kentucky's not very good. Speaking of coaches that could get fired, like – I'm looking at him, and I know that the buyout's a lot, and I know that, you know, Kentucky football doesn't necessarily have the type of money to be thrown around that some of these other programs do, but I wonder if he could be next on the list.
Stoops. Yeah, he could be. You know, it's – but again, it's like him, Freeze, Auburn and Freeze. Are there going to be some teams that are like, well, next year the buyout will be a little – but the problem is if you have no, you know, momentum and everybody's out on it, like, it's yeah, it's not a great idea to just have a lame duck coach.
Well, and the thing is, like, Vanderbilt could end up winning out. They could win out and go 11-1 and still not be in the SEC championship game. I mean, A&M's undefeated. Alabama's at 7-1 right now. They're 5-0 in the conference, and they got the tiebreaker over you. Like, so they very well – they could win out and still not head to Atlanta.
Which I understand – and I know, like, Vanderbilt fans thinking about their team playing Atlanta, that would be amazing for all of you, but also there is something to be said for just, okay, we're 11-1 and
we'll see you play.
We'll rest up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. You guys bash each other's heads in there. Maybe Tony Petitti was onto something. Let's just have like a big round robin euchre tournament and, you know.
Maybe so.
Put it on TV.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on Vanderbilt's win against Missouri. We'll get to Tennessee's takedown of Kentucky as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Mondays were made for Macero. Big screens, bold flavors, and all the football actions. From queso to kickoffs, this is how Macero does game night. Macero Football Mondays in 12 South. Don't miss a snap. Vanderbilt gets the win against Missouri. Taking your thoughts on that on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's welcome in Tim to the program on our phone line. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. Hey, you were talking about, you know, if we go down to Texas and we get beat, then we're probably out of the playoff picture.
No, we didn't say that.
They're definitely not out of the playoff picture.
We got two losses. Okay. But Tennessee has two losses, and they're still very much in the playoff picture, right?
Yep. Vanderbilt would also still be in. We've been saying that. Yeah. What we're saying is, okay, if they lose this game, then that game at Tennessee, if they get there with two more wins than the next two games, would be basically
elimination
to get in. Right.
Okay. I apologize because I misunderstood you. Anyway, but if you look at Tennessee's resume and you look at Vanderbilt's and you don't have a name on there, who's got the better resume?
Well, Vanderbilt does at the moment, for sure. I mean, we talked about that last week. Tennessee doesn't have a good win yet. Like, you know, they could have
a top 25 win.
They could get a couple here. Like, you know, they got Oklahoma coming up on Saturday, and if they get Vanderbilt at the end of the year, then there's two good wins there, and they're probably in. But at the moment, yep, Vanderbilt definitely has a better resume. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we played probably, besides the Alabama game, our worst game of the year against Missouri, and guess what? We won.
Yeah.
In years past, Vanderbilt would not have won that game.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. Tim, thank you for the call.
No, I totally agree. Bye-bye. I totally agree. It's not a super impressive win. It's a good opponent. They got some talent. They're well coached, despite the punchable face. And I think so.
Okay.
And that is a culture character win.
Yeah,
it is. Like that means a lot. Actually, now it doesn't guarantee anything moving forward, but though every great team has to have wins like that.
Yeah, and look, you know, the resume part of it, if Vanderbilt ends the season here with two losses, regardless of where they come, like if they lose to Texas this week and then they run out, or if they win all the way to Tennessee and then they lose in Knoxville and they're 10-2, if they're 10-2 at the end of the year, they're getting in. Vanderbilt's getting in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee, it's going to be interesting. Tennessee, to me, Joe, really needed Oklahoma to win that game against Ole Miss. They didn't. So, and Oklahoma has Tennessee Saturday and then Alabama the next week. And then I think they close with LSU, and I can't remember who their last game is. But it's a really difficult schedule for Oklahoma. So, like, Tennessee, number one, you have to win on Saturday, but you also, like, when you – if you beat Oklahoma, you need Oklahoma to roll off some wins at the end of the year.
They close with LSU.
Yeah, Alabama, Missouri, and LSU. So, I don't know if, you know, asking Oklahoma to go on the road and beat Alabama in a couple weeks, I don't know how realistic that's going to be. I guess we'll see. But you would definitely, like, if you're Tennessee, you definitely need Oklahoma at the end of the year if you win this game to beat Missouri and LSU at the end of the year. You need that win to look as good as possible if you're Tennessee.
Yes. No doubt. That's the thing. Vanderbilt represents.
Yeah.
A nice feather in your cap if you can get to that game and you still have two losses and you get that win. You know, our projections at The Athletic, Austin Mock's model hates Vanderbilt. It's even like David Ubbin, like, interviewed him last week. He's like, why do you hate Vanderbilt? And he's like, I don't know. But even now, right, he doesn't have them in the field.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. Not in the field. They are on the bubble. They are the second. The Louisville's ahead of them, then Vanderbilt, then Cincinnati, then Tennessee. So, but again, I mean, I'm just, that's just interesting to me. But to your point, I mean, I think any 10-2 team in the Big Ten and SEC, well, in the SEC, is going to get in. You know, Michigan actually could be 10-2, which is crazy. They're not very good. Just saw them the other night. They're like, they just got a randomly easy ass schedule.
Yeah,
they have no wins at all. They got blown up by USC, but they
got beat by Oklahoma. Yep,
yeah, beat Oklahoma. If you beat Ohio State at home, which, I mean, based on Ryan Day's history, you know, then you're going to get in as a so-so team. But, like, to me, you know, Vanderbilt, for example, is a lot better than that team. So, But I think in the SEC, I mean, look, the SEC is going to get four in and maybe could get five in.
Well, right now the SEC has nine teams that are at two losses or fewer. Now, that's going to change because some of these teams play each other, like Tennessee, Oklahoma. Somebody's moving to three this weekend, right? So it's not going to shake out that way at the end of the year, and it'll probably take care of itself. But I do wonder, like, how many teams end up finishing 10-2 or better in the SEC, and what's that going to mean in terms of who gets in and what that looks like?
Yeah, that's the thing. So we've talked about the possibility of a 9-3 team getting in, which I do think is still possible this year with all the stuff that could happen. But there is other stuff that could happen where you could be sitting there at 10-2, and it's like, well, you can't all get in.
Right.
Like, again, this projection has or not projection. It's right now, if the field – he has Ole Miss,
yeah,
A&M, Georgia, Alabama. Those four teams,
yeah,
and not Vanderbilt.
But there is a scenario. I don't know if it's a likely one, but there is a scenario where Tennessee could go 10-2 and not get in. Like, if Oklahoma just craters here and they lose out. I mean, you're talking about, you look at Tennessee's schedule at the end of the year and you're like, okay, well, Oklahoma ended up 7-5 or whatever they are. You get the one good win against Vanderbilt, and then you've got two good losses to Georgia and Alabama, but there's just not a whole lot of good wins on the schedule for Tennessee.
And by the way, that's why if you're a Tennessee fan, you may be annoyed by all this Vanderbilt stuff. Root for them to win at Texas.
Yes, exactly.
Root for that potential win to be as valuable as possible. If they, like, lose at Texas and, like, Auburn rises up and gets them, yeah, that could be the difference.
Yeah. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie? How you doing, Rob and Joe?
Good, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Hey, first of all, I'm going to apologize to the Vanderbilt fans. If y'all remember, I said they'd go 5-7. I got cussed out about that, but hey, look. They have really shown and proven to me they're a great team. Clark Lee ought to not just be SEC Coach of the Year. He ought to be National Coach of the Year. Diego should be higher on the Heisman list than he is. And they do have a great team. And I'm going to give them a puncher's chance against Texas, even though that game to Texas is struggling right now. But I think Vanderbilt can match up with them and hopefully pull an upset down in Austin. But I think that they really have a great opportunity to get into the playoffs. I really wouldn't underestimate them right now, man. They can beat anybody on any given day. But these Cam Ward, I'm going to go back to what y'all were talking about earlier, Robbie. These Cam Ward haters need to stop, man. Give Cam a chance. He's just a rookie. He's learning the game. He's got two good wide receivers. They're also rookies. Lay off Cam. Cam's going to be okay and stuff. Shame what happened to Brian Kelly over the weekend, but Joe, I want to see if you agree with me. I think he laid down on LSU, and he was ready to go anyway if you look at the expressions on his face. And Robbie, quit hating that coach at Missouri. I know you want to punch him in the mouth, man, but leave him alone. He'll be okay, man.
Thank you.
And Robbie, also, before I go, Jordan Love took a step up last night with Green Bay.
Looked pretty good.
Looked pretty good out there, Roger. But Uncle Joe, Robbie, y'all have a good day, man. We'll see y'all.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
That's about five different topics. It was.
He did. He hit the topics there for sure. Jordan Love did look good. And, yeah, you should focus your hatred on Beamer. You know, Beamer's – poor Beamer. That would have been so big for Beamer.
Yeah, you really hate to see it.
Oh, my goodness.
One texter says, I'm a Vols fan through and through. Mentally stable, up to say. Vanderbilt's the team we've circled on our schedule now. Vanderbilt's slate the rest of the season looks like a win-out trip to the SEC Championship if they end it strong. Not only does Tennessee have this game at the end of the year to deal with, also got to go to Florida and win in their stadium, which they haven't done since 2003. On edge is an understatement from Tennessee. Quickly on the Tennessee front, you know, they beat Kentucky. The offense looked good against Kentucky. They put up 56. They probably could have put up more. Like, Joey Aguilar played great.
That was a beauty. That one deep shot was a beauty.
It was really good. Tennessee's defense is bad, and because of that, like, it's just really hard to trust them moving forward. Like, I think John Mateer may have himself a game on Saturday against that defense. At this point, it'll be November by the time that game rolls around. I'm just going to assume that we're not going to see Jermaine McCoy at this point. If you do, then I guess it's gravy then, but it's November. Like, I'm going to assume that he's not going to be out there. And at this point in the season, I think you just kind of are what you are. Tennessee's a really good offense, and their defense is bad, and they'll force some turnovers every now and then. And so, and they did it again the other night, scored a touchdown. You know, for as bad as they are on defense, they are pretty good at forcing turnovers and scoring touchdowns on the defensive side of the game, but they're just – they're lost in coverage out there. It's crazy.
And this is almost the opposite of what I thought this team would be.
Yeah.
That they'd have another really good defense and had big questions about the offense. It's just – it's, I think, beyond frustrating at this point that they haven't been able to figure more out on defense. There's too much talent there. So, you know, people mad at Tim Banks, and I get it. I mean, they should be able to figure something out. I wonder – this has nothing to do with, like, run fits and, you know, linebackers in coverage and things like that. But I do wonder, like, Boo Carter's presence, if it's just a problem. I mean,
yeah,
that play, like, you can't possibly be respected by your teammates after
that. It's embarrassing.
That. And, I mean, what is the film? When they go through film, I assume today, man, they might have done it yesterday. But, like, the film session on that. This is the thing. In this day and age, like, no one wants to call anybody out, but my God.
I'm not joking. I think we're getting close to the point with him where you'd probably be better off playing somebody else. I know that he's more talented than the other guys you've got in that spot, but if he's not going to play, like, if he's not going to try, then what are you doing out there? Like, if he's got one foot out the door already and he's transferring at the end of the year, just rip the Band-Aid off, man. Let's go. Put somebody else in there.
Yeah, I think it's clear, like, and I get it. Like, even if you know it's ending, okay, well, get use out of that talent this year. He can do things for you. But I'm with you. If you're the rest of that team, what does that say?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the college football Vanderbilt and Tennessee front. We will do that. We'll get back into the Titans. All that ahead. Corey Curtis coming up at 8 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. The Blue Raiders will take on Jacksonville State this Wednesday at 6:30. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app. And it totallyhitsnashville.com. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. One texter saying, Diego Pavia, overrated for the Heisman Trophy. Aguilar has way better stats in the SEC. Joe, your thoughts? Is Pavia being overrated, overblown in the Heisman discussion?
I should have told you not to read this because I was going to do this for my rant.
No, sorry.
That's okay. We could just keep it going. Yeah. So, first of all, I like this, the Tennessee fan, you know, who's like, screw Pavia, he's overrated. You know, Aguilar, way better stats. I said the Heisman is about way more than stats. He responded, all I've been hearing is how Pavia's playing his butt off. And then on the other hand, how Vandy's team is well built and coached. So which one is it? Okay. Let me stop you there. So it has to be one or the other? They're 7-1 and ranked number 9 in the country. It can yield that either the quarterback's good or other things are good. They cannot possibly both be true. Are you kidding me? And then he said, and what is the Heisman about now? A popularity contest? Well, no. But it's about more than stats. Now, I will agree that you want statistics. I mean, he had great stats in the LSU win, which got him back into, I think, the discussion after the Alabama loss, which I think hurt him a lot in the discussion. But it is about more than stats. I mean, are ridiculous stats part of it? They can be, for sure. Like, Hendon Hooker was, I'd say, the leader for a lot of that 2022 season, and part of that was his numbers were absurd. So that's part of it. But there are also winners who, again, Dominique Sue should have won. I don't know how many sacks he had that year. He's dominated the game. And Pavia, again, if you watch football, he's a great player. And also, there is more to this. It's not the popularity contest, but there is the totally, basically, moribund program comes in and you transform the whole thing.
Moribund. Nice.
Thank you. Moribund. More buns. Take your pick there, okay? But what he's done, what he is as a leader, all that stuff is definitely part of it. I mean, they completely rally around that guy. That does matter. So, I mean, all these things, I mean, voters, there's a lot of subjectivity and there's a lot of intangibles that go into the voting for the Heisman Trophy, too. It's not just a stat read. And unfortunately for Aguilar, again, if he lights up Oklahoma, if he just destroys Vandy and has a way better game than Pavia, I mean, he could, I'm not discounting him.
It's the same thing with him from the like if Tennessee just makes a field goal in the Georgia game, they're sitting pretty in the college football playoff discussion.
Yep.
And he's at least in the Heisman discussion, right? Yep. Like he's probably not leading it, but he's in there in the Heisman discussion based on the numbers that he's had. But that's how it goes, college football.
Yeah, but again, it can change.
Yeah.
I think there's enough opportunity still with those two games in particular. Like Pavia right now, I wouldn't make him – I don't think he's front runner. It is a weird year, though. It's like, I guess Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
Like Indiana's dominating people, and he's just lighting people up.
Him and Simpson are the top two on most boards.
Yeah, and I'm probably a little more partial to Simpson. I know it's like, oh, yeah, because he doesn't have great players around him at Alabama. He does, but, again, first of all, he outplayed Pavia in a matchup of contenders and the comeback the other day. I mean, I think it's wide open. I mean, I think there's in the last month here, I think you could see somebody rise. Look, the Oregon kid was supposed to be the leader in the clubhouse, and then all of a sudden he falls off the face of the earth with the one loss to Indiana. I think a lot could still happen in that situation.
Well, and that third on the list, just kind of sitting there, and they very well could go undefeated, is Julian Sayin, quarterback at Ohio State. Like, I mean, they probably are going undefeated, by the way. Like, I don't know that anybody's going to challenge them.
Well,
we'll see.
I mean, they don't seem to be able to beat Michigan. And it's at Ann Arbor. I wouldn't pick Michigan, but also like last year, they should have beat Michigan by 30. You know what I mean?
I know.
At some point, you figure they stop the bleeding there, but. But yeah, like Sayin to me is the classic example of he is really good, but it's like everybody's just like, yeah, okay, Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Must be fun. Go out and play catch. I mean, the Big Ten's so bad. Big Ten is such trash. Like I said, Michigan State, you know, it's a great environment, all that stuff, but it's just like
UCLA put up a good fight, huh?
Yeah, 56-6. Like every week it's like, oh, Rutgers, Iowa coming up on it's so bad.
Well, Minnesota, Iowa. Come on, Joe. Get excited.
Yeah. What was that? Like 45-3 Iowa?
I think Iowa actually scored points.
Iowa's actually pretty good.
Iowa's a wagon.
Iowa's actually pretty good. But like the Big Ten sucks. Like the SEC is so much better than the Big Ten.
What was the final of Michigan, Michigan State?
31-20 Michigan.
31-20. How just was it an ugly game overall?
Yeah, it was a mediocre team handling a bad team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Marcel Reed? Where's he at in all this?
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought him up. I think we need to start talking about him more. Now he threw two picks in the LSU game, so he made a couple mistakes. But yes. Nashville's Marcel Reed, and there are people on the text line, I think that really needs to start being discussed a little bit here.
He's number four on the board right now on FanDuel.
Because I have said, in fact, it's funny, I was saying to someone this weekend, like, that dude's winning it next year. You know, like, I think he's special. But this year is wide open enough, and that team is good enough that could happen. And these types of things have happened. You know, Johnny Manziel, the year he won it, I bet you by this point, like the first 6-7 weeks of the season, no one knew who the hell he was.
Yeah.
That happens. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That's definitely possible. So no, he's overrated, Joe. King Mendoza, Simpson, yeah. Look, Tennessee fans, I feel like there's some hatred for Diego.
Well, look, again, with having to watch the Tennessee Titans play football every Sunday, I am really talking myself into Vanderbilt, Tennessee for a spot in the college football playoff at the end of the year. Tennessee's got to hold up their end of the bargain. I feel better about Vanderbilt doing that at this point. But, you know, Tennessee, I think, is a 3.5-point favorite at home Saturday night against Oklahoma. They're wearing the dark mode jerseys, as Rex was very excited about.
Yay.
They've got New Mexico State. They got a trip to Florida after that. So if you can get Oklahoma, then everybody's going to start talking about, well, that's Florida. You got to go down to Florida. I mean, Tennessee, we'll see. I think they should beat Florida this year. I think they'll be favored in that game, but who knows? It's the swamp. So who knows?
I'm interested to see what is Florida?
I don't know.
Post Napier.
They got a good defense. Or at least they've had a good defense.
They get is it the cocktail party this week?
It is.
So that'll be a little indication. Because if they've got some life to them, that could be, as you know, Tennessee fan, a little tricky.
It could. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, go back to before the season and tell Vanderbilt fans on October the 27th, we'd be talking about Diego Pavia, potential Heisman. Oh, by the way, they're still very much alive for a trip for Atlanta, the SEC title game. You're number 9 in the country in the AP poll, and the college football playoff kind of staring you right in the face as we enter into the last month of the college football regular season. That's where they're at.
You're traveling, and you're traveling. A lot of people think you're going to go beat the preseason number 1 team that's hanging on by a thread.
Yep. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet.
Y'all are big Garth Brooks fans too? No way.
We'll take it from here. This is Kobe Delahousie, number 42, but number 1 in your hearts, the Cajun kicker.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Coach, you look very good tonight.
I say.
I'm here with my family.
I know what love is, Tiger Nation.
I've got some gumbo for you.
You ever had any crawfish etouffee so good your toes curl?
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net.
Remember that day after, the day after the my family. Oh,
I remember exactly
like,
where I was.
All we did, didn't we just sit here?
That's all
day?
We did the whole show.
We just did fake accents the whole show.
That's, I was in Florida
that's just
doing
good
the show.
Sports radio. Right?
There was a caller named Ed.
Yeah,
who called in? Who like claimed? I don't know. He had like this really.
Oh, he sounded just like
Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, yeah,
it was hilarious.
Oh, man. Ed from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I'm here with my family. I mean, probably should have known there that was not going to be a great fit.
And now. No. And now I feel like I should rant about Brian Kelly. I mean, like, you set me up to rant about. I just sent you something that I'm hoping to. Yeah, because I'm terrible and I suck. I'm sorry, Ian.
That's you sent it right saying. Now?
That's I know. I just said right now. Hey, can you get this ready for my segment? I suck. I deserve to have that hot mic on me. I can't believe I. I mean, right, you know, I was just starting to launch into a huge. Angry
you are.
Tirade about Chase.
Profanity.
You know? Yeah, just, you know, and Saved by the Bell. No, I did actually. Well, first of all, let's get into Brian Kelly real quick.
Let's do that.
Let's get into Brian Kelly because, I mean, Predemption's like, oh, I wanted a Brian Kelly rant. It's like, sometimes Ian leads me to, like, that should have been the idea, right? I just think it's hilarious. But you know what? If there is something to this, think about, like, the huge hires. And how they've been lately. They've been the worst, right? I mean, like the big, big hires that we're seeing. Obviously, Jimbo. Thank you. Obviously, Jimbo is a great example. But Brian Kelly, think about the reaction when they got him. Like the LSU fan reaction. Like, oh, yes. And, you know, Notre Dame fans are like, okay, you think so?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? So we've been holding him back? We've been holding Brian Kelly back. That's the problem? Because he just went 3-9 not that long ago. We've been holding him back? And meanwhile, right now, as we sit here, Notre Dame, although we don't know they're getting the playoff, I would still say, well, certainly, they have a much better chance of winning a national title this year than LSU did.
Yes.
He got worse and worse as the years went on. You know, the fit thing is interesting. Not a good fit. I saw Andy Staples and Ari, friends of the show, having this discussion. And I agree with what Andy said. He said, like, if you win, you're a fit. Yeah, great. He's obviously a fake Louisianan. He's from Massachusetts. But, like, a fit, if you coach well and you win, everybody will love you. I mean, you know, like there are – like, Kalen DeBoer, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
You know, at first it was like, oh, God. Well, he's from North Dakota, and guess what? They're winning and he's coaching well. I don't really buy the fit thing much.
I think there are some places.
I think
where
some
it
places. I think some places knowing the lay of the land.
Yes.
Is very important for sure with like administrators, boosters, all that stuff for sure. But you know
it
what?
Doesn't help
if you're smart though, you should figure that stuff out when you get a job.
I
like
would
this.
Agree. I also like in his particular case. Like, it just doesn't really help when you're just an absolute jerk.
Well, yeah.
Which is what he is.
No, he's a very unlikable person.
When you're an unlikable and you're in a spot where, like, look, LSU's just a little bit different, man. Like, it's from a recruiting standpoint, it's just the whole thing is different. And, look, you know, I'm not saying that Coach O was great, the greatest gift to the coaching world at LSU or anything. But, I mean, he was definitely a fit there, right? Like, he kind of fits LSU. And they have been searching for that since then. Now, LSU, to me, is still a great job. I mean, there's a growing list of great jobs that are open, and I'm interested to see what happens through all of this. But, like, Brian Kelly, whew, it's been rough down there.
I'll tell you someone else who isn't necessarily all that likable, although he's at least funny. Absolute trash-talking East Coast yinzer at a basketball school, and all of a sudden in India, he is Bloomington. Kurt Cignetti, you yeah. are Bloomington! Because he wins.
Yeah.
Because they kick everybody's butt. Now, what I was actually going to talk about, so the Pavia thing. Now, this person, I guess, covers Alabama? Let me make sure I have this correct. This is how I saw this, because there was a lot of reaction to this Pavia quote, and this woman, I guess she covers Alabama, or is she an Alabama like fan site thing? I'm not sure. But anyway, basically just went off on him, and then all these people are defending him. Hannah Stevens, I guess featured reporter for Roundtable Sports Network. Anyway, this is what she tweeted. Quote, Diego Pavia might be the most arrogant QB I've seen since Johnny Manziel, minus the talent. Here's my hot take. If your university has to launch an online Heisman campaign for you, your stats clearly aren't doing the talking. Diego, you threw for 129 yards and intercepted. It showed up after the press conference, dressed like you just signed your latest NIL deal with GLD. Bro, the only thing too turnt was, this is a really long tweet. I'm sorry I started reading it. The only thing too turnt was your turnover count. If Ty Simpson ever walked into a press conference looking like this, DeBoer, one of his teammates, would rip those chains off mid-question, hands down, humility over hype every time. So then we have all these people. Marty Smith is defending him. He's nice to people in the building, whatever.
Chief disciplinarian, Kalen DeBoer, yes.
This is the quote from him that she was reacting to.
I got to ask it. Vanderbilt launched the campaign this week. Do you believe you should win the Heisman? Why? But beyond all that, too, how bad do you want it to just kind of, you know, for your O-line, for the rest of the people around you to prove what you guys have done here?
First off, hell yeah, I believe it, you know. We just got to keep winning football games. And, you know, I feel like the schedule that we got, obviously it's a difficult schedule playing in the SEC. You'll play a lot of ranked teams.
Hell yeah, I believe it.
That's what,
okay.
Okay.
No, I should not win the Heisman. And I should not be invited to New York. Thank you. Goodbye. I don't know. I get Alabama fans. I know Saban went out about this too. You know, practicing victory formation. There's video of him like grabbing himself when he was yelling at some Alabama fans. He's gonna talk some trash and he's gonna ruffle some feathers.
Yes.
But like, you know, this idea. Oh, by the way, the school launching the Heisman campaign. Do you follow what?
It happens all the time.
The Heisman campaigns are launched every year by Alabama's done it too. I've received.
Tennessee launched a Heisman campaign one time for Eric Berry,
which actually I like that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I've received literature from Alabama multiple times for guys who won Heismans and some who didn't. I mean, come on, that's idiotic. I think the Pavia. Yeah, again, I understand ruffling some feathers, and yeah, I wouldn't advise something like the quote he gave to Chris Lowe, like, you know, if we execute, it won't be close.
Yeah,
you know, but also we laughed at the national title thing. I mean, Paul Feinbaum just laughed when he said it on his show, like, oh, Diego. And it's like, I don't know, man. They're 7-1, and they're ranked number 9. You know, I think the Pavia hate is a little bit overboard. And yeah, like, I don't think he's gonna win the Heisman. I think he'd have to have some absurd performances ahead of us here to win. You know what? Going to Knoxville and do something insane and lead with some Heisman plays or whatever. I don't think he's gonna win it, but I think he at this point has a good chance to get to New York, and he should be there. It is more than stats.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on a 38-14 loss for the Tennessee Titans against the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.